International.
Ici Radio-Canada. This is Canada.
This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
This is Free China as a presentation of the Voice of Free China, the international service of the Broadcasting Corporation of China.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
This is Radio South Africa.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
This is Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to another edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. We have quite a packed program today with news items and other things as well. So let's just begin. Now, a few weeks ago, there was a lot of talk about stations that were leaving shortwave. We know that Belarus has discontinued their shortwave service. Also, the mighty KBC, which broadcast to Europe on 6095. Now, this station, of course, was a favorite to truck drivers, which was their main target. But the station, of course, also had listeners in other places. It was one of those stations, of course, that people really enjoyed because it wasn't like what we hear a lot of on the shortwave dials, which is, of course, the religious preachers. It was a music station, and they had some very interesting features as well. Now, they did leave shortwave, but they are going to continue using AM, DAB, that's digital audio broadcasting, and streaming. And, of course, that's, you can find out all the information through their website. Now, this is how they ended their last broadcast on shortwave.
Bravo Quinn speaking on behalf of Eric Von Dilligan and the entire staff of the mighty KBC 6095. We thank all of you all over Europe and beyond for being loyal listeners. But all good things must come to an end. And this is the end of the mighty KBC on 6095. Good luck to all of you.
That was the last few seconds of the mighty KBC on 6095. The station will continue, though, on AM and DAB. That's digital audio broadcasting. Now, at the beginning, we also mentioned that Radio Belarus was leaving shortwave. Another station, actually, that as of the recording of this program, I haven't been able to get confirmation, but it seems that Radio Cairo is also going to be leaving shortwave. Now, there's been a lot of talk on various shortwave DX blogs, how this is very sad, that stations are just disappearing like this. But you have to realize something. Stations like Radio Belarus and Radio Cairo probably have the smallest, if any, shortwave audience compared to, let's say, Deutsche Welle, Radio France International, BBC World Service, Voice of America, and China Radio International. So it's not really surprising that they're planning on doing this. Now, with Radio Cairo, however, anybody that has tuned in to them before know that they probably have some of the worst sounding audio on shortwave. So couple that with content which is not exactly exciting, with poor quality sound. If they're planning to get listeners, I seriously doubt it. A few years ago, we actually reported on one station that was disappearing completely from shortwave. Not only did they disappear from shortwave, but their online presence is also much smaller than it once was. They're no longer doing newscasts, and they only do one program a week. This is how they ended their last broadcast ever on shortwave.
Well, now we have come to a point in the show. We only have a few minutes left in this final program, and I kind of find myself in the incredible position of being one of the last voices to be broadcast on Canada's international radio. And over these past few years, it has been my extreme privilege to be able to work alongside some of the most dedicated and talented people I've ever known. But we're saying goodbye to teammates and colleagues, most of whom are reluctantly retiring or leaving the job they love to seek other employment, but every one of them with a strong sense of pride for a job extremely well done. I'm finding this very hard. For 67 years, RCI has been the country's voice to the world, broadcasting Canada's viewpoints and culture in several languages. Not without some rocky financial times, though. Over a decade ago, when our budget was about double what it is now, the accounting firm KPMG was...
Well, that was just an excerpt of the last 5 minutes of the final broadcast from Radio Canada International on shortwave in English. All languages ceased to broadcast on shortwave. And if you follow this program on a regular basis, you know that the Sackville transmitter site was torn down. Radio Canada International still exists. They do have an online presence and do produce, well, a few reports here and there. The program The Link that was broadcast daily is now a weekly program. Well, it seems that as of April the 3rd, when we heard about this, Radio Canada International is back on shortwave. But I should mention this is not an RCI or a CBC initiative. Not at all. It's on shortwave via a radio station called Radio 700. It's a radio station based in Europe that broadcasts on 7310 kHz, also 6005 kHz. They're going to be broadcasting The Link and the French version of The Link, Tam Tam. That's T-A-M-T-A-M, weekly, on Radio 700. Now, we actually heard that this is, of course, a deal that the station has worked out with RCI to actually broadcast the program. So, for the time being, RCI has actually returned to shortwave, not with daily transmissions in various languages, but at least a program in English and French. Now, if anybody out there does manage to pick it up, do let us know. We'd love to find out. So our email address we'll give out at the end of the program. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
The Spectrum Monitor is a monthly electronic magazine covering shortwave, amateur radio, scanning, satellites, Wi-Fi, and vintage radio, which is available for any device capable of opening a PDF file. The Spectrum Monitor also covers amateur radio satellites, maritime and military monitoring on shortwave, reviews of receivers, scanners, and software used for shortwave, and more. Annual subscriptions for 12 issues is only $24, with individual monthly issues available for $3 each. If you're already a subscriber, you can renew your subscription by clicking on the Sign Up for 2015 button. MasterCard, Visa, Discover, and PayPal are accepted. For more details, visit our website at www.thespectrummonitor.com.
Now, here's a bit of a strange story. Anybody that has listened to this program before have probably heard at some point of a radiogram. Now, listeners who are tuning to this program on 9955 kHz in the Caribbean and Latin America may know that we even sent out some radiograms a couple of years ago. This was around the time that the Voice of America and Dr. Kim Andrew Elliott started to put out weekly programs as text using radiograms. Now, this is a little bit peculiar. Because just a couple of weeks ago, the German regulatory organization that oversees radio said that it will not allow digital modes on the broadcast bands. Which is a little bit strange because Germany, which is one of the supporters of DRM, must have realized that DRM, of course, is a digital mode. But the digital mode, for example, like MFSK32 and others... Now, this was thought to have had an impact on the VOA's radiograms. But then, just after, it seems that this German regulatory organization decided to look at it once again. And guess what? Well, they decided to reverse their decision. Now, the radiograms are broadcast on a number of frequencies via the KBC, or they were, rather, until the KBC left shortwave. But they will continue through Nouwen and also WRMI Radio Miami International. And those are going to be on the air to Europe at 2130 UTC on 15770 kilohertz. That's 15770 kilohertz, which would be heard in Europe, North America, and other areas. And of course, there is a email address to send along a reception report on it. Now, many people may not know how to receive the program or what exactly is a radiogram. Well, Dr. Kim Andrew Elliott, who formerly did a program on the VOA called Communications World, is the chief person behind it. Now, a radiogram at one time was developed by RCA, the Radio Corporation of America, as a way to send telegrams. And this is what Dr. Kim Andrew Elliott had to add.
Well, more or less, that's what it was. RCA sent telegrams via radio, and they called them radiograms. And so that was a way of sending messages decades ago. And then the amateur radio community picked it up, and they have their own forms of radiogram. And I thought that was a nice word, so I'm just using it as a name for a new program on The Voice of America.
Now, obviously, this is not a new technology. Now, since it's not a new technology, how good a technology is it? Is it because it's so simple that it is so effective?
Well, it's a good actually, it's several versions of a technology. Sending text via radio has been done for decades. The earliest form was radio teletype, and the radio amateurs still use it. They call it RTTY or RTTY. But there have been newer, fancier text modes developed over the years. The radio amateurs really love a mode called PSK31, phase shift keying 31. And then there are other fancier modes like MFSK and MT63 and too many to mention. And so we're going to experiment with those, but this will be the first time that they've been put on top of an amplitude-modulated analog shortwave broadcast transmitter.
And what is the reason for VOA doing this? Because I don't think this has been tested by any other broadcaster yet.
Yes, it is something new. A problem that VOA and other international broadcasters have been having in the past several years is that their websites are blocked in some countries. And also there are, in addition to dictators, there are natural disasters and man-made disasters that can shut down internet infrastructure. So when that happens, text can be sent over shortwave, so can pictures, images, and it becomes a sort of a substitute for the internet.
I was just about to say that. It sounds like a very primitive version of the internet, but information is only coming one way. You can't send information back.
Not really. Although people in target countries probably can get it on their mobile phones and get information back. The bigger problem is getting information into countries that have determined to block that information or where disasters have shut down the infrastructure. So, yes, it doesn't have the interactivity of the internet, that's for sure.
Now, broadcasters like The Voice of America, BBC World Service, and others, for decades now, I mean, this is not new, this goes back to, you know, more than 60 years, a problem with jamming. I mean, it even continues today. Using a radiogram, isn't jamming just going to block it out?
Well, the one thing about text via shortwave is that that information successfully gets through even when voice is difficult to comprehend. That could be under just normal degradations of shortwave, but it also applies when the noise is intentionally added to the frequency. So we've found that the text modes might be able to slice through jamming in some instances.
Now, you have been running some tests via the mighty KBC and WRMI in the United States, Radio Miami International, that this program is relayed on. What have been the results so far?
Well, very encouraging. Those two stations have kindly granted me, you know, about a minute a week. And so I send short messages on WRMI, sent IDs. And there have been situations where the signals have been just terrible, but I've gotten 100% or maybe 95% or better copy of the text. So very encouraging. In the case of WRMI, it gets jammed by Cuba because it has a few hours of some anti-Castro purchased programming, and manages to overcome the jamming pretty well.
So the purpose behind the test, then, is it to find, like you said, to find an alternative means to get information where that you can't use the internet or you can't use shortwave? So, I mean, would the future, let's say, be, I don't know, down the road, let's say, if you have a broadcast that's being jammed, to just send that out in text?
Yes. Now, we don't expect that this will make shortwave popular again, and the audience probably won't be huge, but just get a few key users in the target country, and then they can receive the information and pass it on through what is now the intranet, the internal internet of the target country.
Now, you were mentioning mobile phones. Is it possible you mentioned to me earlier mobile phones. Is it possible to also use a phone app?
Yes, it is possible to do that. In fact, already there are some mobile applications for amateur radio modes. There's one for the Android platform that decodes MT63, and there's one for the Apple platforms that decodes the popular PSK31 mode. In fact, it encodes and decodes both because they're used in the amateur radio community. One of the purposes of the VOA radiogram program is in addition to finding out which mode works best on shortwave broadcast, is to encourage people to develop applications for both PCs and mobile devices.
You know, one of the things, Kim, that I'm thinking about right now, I mean, in certain countries, if we take, let's say, North Korea, that's been in the news lately, mobile phones are really taking off in North Korea. This can be a way, for example, if somebody can get the information into their phone, and like you just said, and then text it to other people, that's incredible.
Well, remember, you have to have a shortwave radio. You got to start with that, and then you have to patch the audio from the shortwave radio into the PC or the mobile phone, and then you have to have the right software. So there are several pieces that have to come together. Might be difficult to get all those pieces together in North Korea.
That was Dr. Kim Andrew Elliott from The Voice of America. You're listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International.
Hi, my name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXR.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXR.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXR, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or are interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXR.ca, a world band radio website.
Very often, we get emails from listeners who are aware that we have a very extensive archive. Not really of PCJ programming, because we haven't been around that long, but programming from other international broadcasters, such as the BBC World Service, VOA, the old Radio Moscow, Radio Beijing, what's the other one? Radio Berlin International. I almost forgot about that one. Radio Sweden. And this one. Now, this is a station that was rather popular in its day on shortwave. They even had a DX program. I'm talking about Radio RSA, Radio South Africa. Now, as I mentioned, they also had a DX program. So let's bring you one edition of that program right now. Now, this has not been heard in many, many, many years. In fact, one of the voices on it is a regular listener to the program. Colin. Yes, Colin, I think you're all the way in Canada right now. So here's something from the archives. DX Corner from Radio South Africa.
Hello, DX friends. I'm Pete Martins, and with me in the studio today we have Kathy Fitch. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
And also Colin Miller. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Peter.
Colin has been with Radio RSA for some years and will be leaving to settle in Canada, so we'll discuss this later on in the program.
We have also invited the chairman of the South African Radio League, Johannesburg branch, Hans van der Groenendaal, to participate in future DX Corner programs. Hans is also involved with amateur satellite activities, so we have Hans standing by with his contribution.
Well, friends, I'd just like to correct something what Hans said there. The program Amateur Radio Mirror is actually broadcast at 0800 UTC on Sundays and not 0900. And Kathy, you got that QSL card in front of you, the ZS6JCF. It's quite a nice card, isn't it?
It's a very attractive card. It's got a sort of outline of the Johannesburg skyline showing the tower and all the large buildings. And as it's only on the air until the end of this year, this was obviously going to be a future collector's item, Colin.
That's right, it is.
So, there you are. You just jolly well listen out for this and write in as soon as you can to get one of these, what was obviously going to be a rare item in the future.
Colin, you've started out with the hobby of DXing at a very early age, and through your DX experiences eventually became what I might term a shortwave monitoring specialist. Then you joined Radio RSA in the monitoring panel section, where you've become very much a central figure with our monitoring panel members. And also, some years ago, you qualified as radio amateur ZS6BYL.
Colin, why this decision to leave South Africa for Canada?
Well, it was family reasons, really. You may know last year I lost my father, and at the moment it's just me and my mother who are living in South Africa, who are members of our family, and all our relations are overseas, and we felt that we should emigrate, and my brother invited us to stay with him in Sarnia, which is a place about 200 miles from Toronto.
And are you going to continue your DX activities in Canada?
Yes, well, I'm hoping to join a few DX clubs over there and possibly branch out into medium wave DXing. I have a great deal of interest in medium wave stations, and there are probably over 4,000 or 5,000 in North America alone, so I think I have plenty to listen to there.
And obviously amateur radio, I suppose, as well.
Oh yes, well, I will be interested in amateur radio over there.
Colin, do you have a message for your monitoring panel members?
Well, yes, I probably won't have time to say everything I want to. I might leave something out, but it's most gratifying to, when I'm listening to different stations, to hear the names of some of our monitors mentioned on their programs. And I'll miss the friendship that I've gained over the years. I've enjoyed being with the panel, and I'll be unable to reply to every letter that I've received, but rest assured my wishes are with everybody, and I hope possibly to meet some of our Canadian and USA monitors when I move over there, and possibly even at one of the ANOC conventions in the future.
Well, Colin, on behalf of all the staff of Radio RSA, I want to thank you for your devoted assistance over the years, and needless to say, we're going to definitely miss you, and like to take this opportunity to wish you and your mum, on behalf of us all, a very pleasant trip and the best of success for the future.
Thanks. Colin, all the best.
Thanks very much, and all the best to everybody.
Well, that winds up this program, Kathy.
Yep.
So from me, Pete Martins, good DX and 73s.
And from me, Kathy Fitch, good DX and Totsians. Colin?
Yes, Totsians, and all the best.
Something from the PCJ archives from Radio RSA, DX Corner with Colin Miller, who is a regular listener to PCJ Radio International. Well, it's now time to turn our attention to propagation and what we can expect. Here's Glenn Hauser.
Keith from IPS in Australia, the global HF propagation forecast. On April 15th, normal to fair at low and high latitudes, but normal at mid latitudes. And on April 16th, also normal at all latitudes. From Space Weather South Africa, magnetic conditions unsettled April 15th. Quiet on the 16th, shortwave fade-outs unlikely, MUF unstable. From FK Yanda in Prague, the geomagnetic field will be quiet to unsettled on April 16th, 23rd to 25th, May 2nd. Quiet on April 17th, 18th, 21st, 22nd, 27th, 28th, and May 4th. Mostly quiet April 19th, 20th, 29th, May 1st, and 3rd. Quiet to active April 26th. Active to disturbed on April 30th. From Met Office UK, the four-day space weather forecast summary through April 17th. Solar activity low or very low. Geomagnetic activity declining. The weekend mainly quiet. No solar radiation storms expected. From SWPC in Boulder, geomagnetic field activity expected to be at unsettled to active levels April 23rd to 26th, with ANK indices of 12 and 4 on the 23rd. Also 29th and 30th, with G1 minor storm levels likely on the 29th, with ANK indices of 20 and 5. Lowest A's and K's of 5 and 2 or 8 and 3 on April 16th to 22nd and 26th to 28th. Solar flux peaking at 115 on April 18th to 20th and dropping to 90 by April 30th to May 2nd. William Hepburn's VHF UHF-DX maps show extreme tropospheric ducting along the coasts of Angola, Namibia, and South Africa, and between Oman and Pakistan and India, especially April 16th and 17th. Also between India and Myanmar and east of Vietnam on April 15th and 16th. At least until April 19th, along the southeastern coast of Brazil. Watch out for sporadic E-openings. I already had one up to 22 megahertz the morning of April 12th. Radio Society of Great Britain says the 2016 Lyrids meteor shower peaks on April 21st and 22nd. A noticeable increase in meteor rates can be expected from about April 16th. TimeandDate.com says the peak is April 22nd and 23rd. Lasting until the 25th, best from midnight until dawn. EarthSky.org expects only 10 to 15 meteors per hour, but some lurid showers have reached 100. A full moon will hamper viewing, but tune to open FM channels and listen for bursts of DX reception.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of the program. If there's something actually that you would like to hear from the archives, and maybe we actually do have it, the email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. Also, let us know how you heard the program on shortwave, medium wave, satellite, or DAB, or, of course, even online streaming. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Powell wishing you well. It's been a pleasure to be with you. 73 and 88 to the ladies.
Once in a cold gray morning, I was walking home alone. Traffic lights in the falling rain, the unanswered phone. I was so sad and lonely on a lonesome avenue. So sad and lonely, what could I do? Once I opened the drawer in a room of a strange hotel, I saw a photograph of you. You looked so sad.